Oh, Teddy, you didn't say, Brother Booney, come preach to us. At the convention we had, they introduced the preachers that way, and I told Teddy, I said, now that's what you need to do. All of you take your hand like that, you know, and hold it up, and then say, come preach to us. And it was a hoot. We enjoyed it. I learned that one thing I learned about at this convention, Brother Bill can eat Richard under the table, boy. Old Richard just had to fold. Said, bring me a doggy box. What a man. Oh, man. But we had a great time. I tell you, our staff is great. Teddy's great. And Bill, I enjoy Bill and Richard. We all flew up there and barely made it. But we got there. Had a good time at the convention. Heard some great preaching. And our convention is strong, very strong. Lottie Moon's coming up. And pray about that and give towards Lottie Moon. Our Southern Baptist of Texas last year gave Lottie Moon $29 million or something like that, $39 million for our foreign missionaries. Lottie Moon, so you may know, all goes to our foreign missionaries. And since I've got a son that's will be going back over there in January the 1st, pray about and give. Our church gave $20,000 last year, and I just pray that we can do that or do more. So pray about that now. Start putting some back. You know, if you just give a little bit each week, put back, it'll add up quite a bit. So pray about that, and don't cut out your tithe now. That's above and beyond your tithe. But do that, and I got a letter from an email. Not a letter, but that's an email. Got an email from our missionary in Kenya, and he said, Brother Booney, can y'all help start another church? They have, back in 2001 or 2002, we sent enough money over there to build a brick building. They meet under a tree, and they were meeting under a tree, and we sent enough money to them to build a Haidite block building, and it is full now. And they started other churches off of that church, meeting under trees, and it's just great to know that they're doing that. They're reaching people, and literally hundreds and hundreds are being saved. So praise God for that. Turn, if you will, in your Bible this morning to Galatians chapter 1. We had a great study on Galatians this morning in our Sunday school class. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 through 24. I'm not going to read all of those, but starting in verse 11, Paul writes these words, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard from my former conduct in Judaism how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous for the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, I love that. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, concerning these things, which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. That is beautiful passage of Scripture, isn't it? I want to talk about this morning my story. For this is Paul's story. And I want you to think about his story because it's repeated time and time again. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we have a story to tell. We need to be evangelizing the world. We need to be evangelistic in our church as we reach out in Lottie Moon giving and different things that we do to Africa and to Haiti and Mexico and different places, the Philippines. God, we just thank you that we can reach out beyond these four walls, beyond ourselves, and help other people. Lord, I thank you as we have celebrated so many good years here as a church, that Lord, as we share the gospel with shoeboxes we saw, Lord, that as we reach out to those children, the word of God will go forth. And I thank you for this man, Paul, Lord, as he tells of his story. Lord, that you'll use him today as we look at this passage of Scripture, that if someone might be here that's never received you as Lord and Savior, this morning might be that morning that they simply come by faith, trusting you. Lord, there's some here that are visiting, and Lord, I pray that they might be looking for a church home, and if this is the place you sent them, Lord, I pray that it might be here. But Lord, I pray that our members will get on fire for God, that we might just evangelize our town with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I think this is the most remarkable testimony in all the Bible. When Paul tells about Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, I know that if you've been saved, you can tell the same story that Paul told. You see, Paul told of his past conduct, how he once persecuted the people. He thought he was doing what was right. But he says, you know, the revelation which came to me was none other than by Jesus Christ. It wasn't of man. You know, as growing up, he had learned the scriptures that were taught and things like that. He studied the word and he studied the things of Judaism, and he had rose in his power and he was above all the other contemporaries, he says here. But you know, all of those things, he still was empty inside. Until Jesus Christ came into his life and changed his life. Folks, I grew up in church, and I know most of you did. How many of you grew up in church? You wasn't saved, but you just grew up in church. You had parents. You know, that's almost everybody. In Texas, we are in the Bible Belt. On Sunday, we're just supposed to be at church, aren't we? That's what we all do on Sunday, right? We go to church. Not everybody, but that's what we do. We go to church. And what do we do at church? We're supposed to learn about Jesus Christ. Amen? We're supposed to learn about how he died for us. And we're supposed to learn all of those things. And we do. I can remember as a little boy sitting in Sunday school class, and Miss Sally Richards. Never will forget Miss Sally Richards. As long as I live. Now, Booney, you got to say Genesis, Exodus. You know, I would say Genesis, Exodus. I don't know that other word, Miss Richards. Matter of fact, all of those are hard to say, aren't they? Besides Numbers and... Dude, that's a mess, man. Well, you know, I learned those, and I got to where I said them so fast you didn't know if I was saying them right or not. That's the key to the whole thing. Say them so fast, they don't know if you missed one or not. But, you know, we learned those things. We were taught those things in Sunday school. But those things do not make us saved, do they? They do not get us into heaven. Going to church, man, I learned about tithing when I was a kid. I watched my father. My father tithed, and I knew you were supposed to tithe. I knew it was 10%. Just because he tithed didn't make me a Christian. Just because I grew up in a Christian family didn't make me a Christian. But Paul says, you know, my past conduct was one that I wanted to literally stamp out the church. Man, he was deeply steeped in the things of Judaism. And he believed that his way, that's the only way. My way or the highway. And he persecuted the church. And then Jesus came along and said, no, Paul, you're not the only way. I am the only way. You see, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father, Paul, but by me. And he showed him those things, and his life took a change. So everywhere Paul was going before, he was persecuting Christians. Church would spring up over here, tear it down. I'm not going to let them go to that church. I'm going to kill their leaders. I'm going to run them completely out of town. When a church formed, he would take an army and just do away with it. And literally no person was safe when Paul was around. He was going to do, like he said, all I can to destroy this man called Jesus. But Jesus, he can't be destroyed, can he? The Bible says, he said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, we can't destroy Jesus Christ. He created us. He created us in his image. He created us to have a relationship with him. We rent that relationship by a thing called sin. But the Bible tells me that God so loved me that he gave his son to die for me that I might have life. And even though I grew up in church, even though I played the piano and wasn't that pretty girls, that was beautiful. But I was cute. Oh, I sat there on the piano. Them old piano benches, they weren't near as tall. They didn't have those roll-up things and everything. And I had to sit on Baptist hymnals so I could even reach the keys. And then I couldn't reach the pedals. They just didn't make the legs long enough and the hands, arms long enough. But, you know, those things didn't save me. I was kind of like Paul. I did what I could, but there was something empty inside of me. And even though I didn't, persecute the church. Well, my piano playing might have been persecuting the church. But at Recklaw, they were just glad to have anybody. And that's the reason I guess I was the best there was. There wasn't nobody else. But you know what? I love to go, and in a way, I think that by going, it gets into our mind that, and this may be our mindset, that if we go, we're good people. And we're better than the people that don't go. And, you know, since we're better than the people that don't go, maybe God's going to let us into heaven. I don't know if that's y'all's thinking or not, but I kind of think we kind of rationalize that. If we grow up in church and we give and we go to Sunday school and we learn what the books of the Bible, we think we're better than other people. And we're not. We're all sinners, aren't we? And Jesus comes along and changes our life and changes everything about us. That's what happened on the Damascus Road. The persecutor of the Christian church, the persecutor of Jesus Christ, became the preacher of Jesus Christ. You see, his past conduct, he realized, was empty. He still wanted to know about Jesus. And folks, that's the way we are when we're lost. I have that burning, that desire to learn more and more about Jesus Christ in my life. Oh, I long for Jesus Christ to just give me peace in my heart. Because let me tell you, I was baptized. I even came forward and shook the hand of the preacher and said, hello. And he said, do you want to go to hell? And I said, no, I really don't. You know, as a little kid, you don't want to go there. And he said, okay, sit down on the front row. I never will forget that. He said, sit down on the front row and we'll baptize you in Angelina River and that'll make you all right. Tell you, you've been baptized in Angelina River, you're just dirtier. But you know what? I thought I was saved at that time because I did those things. And some of you have probably traveled down the same old highway, haven't you? You grew up in church. You've already told me that. Your father and mother went to church. That was a tradition. I bet you had Thanksgiving times at church just like we all did. You know, we did all of those things. And somehow or another, we think we're good enough. But you know what? I like that passage of Scripture that I read. But God, in His time. You know, I think I know it was. When it pleased God, I was married. I married Rhonda, and I really realized then that, you know, when we was in church, that I had played church all of those years. I saw something different in her life, and I wanted that. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, just like when Paul was on the road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit came. God came and just showed him, blinded him. Hey, you need to change. This is the way I want you to go. When it pleased God, He showed me through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I didn't see a blinding light that day, but I knew God was talking to me. He'd been talking to me about 2 or 3 weeks, you know. Booney, you need to get your life right. You never have really been saved. I couldn't come at peace in my mind as there's a time when I ever really truly accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I thought about that and I said, but God, you try to deal with God, you know. You ever tried to reason with God? Beg for it? Plead with Him? Offer Him a deal? I said, but God, you know what? I'm a good person. Matter of fact, at that time I was Sunday school superintendent of Eastside Baptist Church. Ron and I was head of the RAs and GAs. We'd been on trips and everything like that. And I said, but God, you know what? If they find out that I'm just now getting saved, they're going to take all that away from me. I'm not going to get to be Sunday school superintendent. I'm not going to be able to be with the RAs because I'm starting all over again. And the old devil works on your mind, doesn't he? And he told me all the reasons why I shouldn't and just go on. Everybody will think, you know, I don't have to walk down and shake that preacher's hand. The Bible says if we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. And Lord, I can just stand right here behind this pew, confess you as my Lord, repent, and you know I'm already living a good life. And I believe the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not going to get it, buddy. The Bible says if we don't confess you before the Father before men, it's just not going to get it. And I played all kinds of games for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I became so miserable in my life, I never will forget it. I was thinking about, as I talk about Paul's story, how miserable he was. You see, the reason he persecuted the church like he did, the reason he was hot on the trail of Christianity, I believe he was a miserable, miserable man. Because he knew in his heart that no matter how good he was at what he did, he still didn't have what the Christians had. And if I can't have what they've got, at least I can persecute them. You see, Paul or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I was thinking, well, Lord, do you mean I'm going to have to be baptized again? I never will forget the answer to that. He said, you never was baptized the first time. You got to be saved to be baptized. I heard a preacher say, merely you just went swimming. You see, baptism is important in our life as a Christian. It identifies us with Christ. I could have said, Lord, I'll come down to the front. I'll get saved, but I've already been baptized in Angelina. There's no better water than that. It's kind of like the Jordan. It was muddy. But he said, no, I want you to go through the whole thing again, but with the right spirit, the right heart. You never were saved. And I knew that, folks. I knew deep down in my life, I was just like Paul here. I was fighting, I was kicking against Jesus Christ. Everybody in that church thought I was all right. Perhaps you're here this morning, and you're sitting right there, and you're in the same condition. And the old devil's telling you right now, he's right. But you've got them all fooled. You've got the person next to you fooled. You see? You've got you. Maybe you're here with your father or your mother, child, or young person. And you've got them fooled. I had my daddy fooled. I had my mother fooled. But I didn't have God fooled. You can never fool him. He knows all about you. And you know what? I did things that were plumb displeasing to God. And I imagine you are too. You know, I went out on Friday night and we'd get drunk with the boys. Or we'd drink with the boys. And we'd do things that just pleased God. And then on Sunday morning we'd come to church and all dressed up and pretty. You know, you just can't do that as a Christian, can you? Never. Brother Perry said, I can do everything I want to, but God just fixed my wanter when I got saved. I still do everything I want to. Man, I just have different wants in my life. I don't want to go out with the boys and drink. I didn't want to go to the bars or whatever they were. I don't think Rick Law had anything like that. I didn't want to continue to live the life that I was living, you see, and I really wasn't all that bad. I didn't want to do that because when Christ comes into your life, you're a changed person. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. I like that, but when it pleased God. Paul is talking about the change in his life that came about. You see, he said, when it pleased God, one minute he's going in the direction of Damascus persecuting the church, and the next minute he's following Jesus. When I got saved, that's exactly what happened. Now, I didn't quit going to church because I was already doing that, but I didn't want to continue to live the life. And I know my wife saw a change in my life. Now, when I married her, I was a pretty good guy because I knew she didn't put up with any foolishness. Still doesn't. You know what? But I still changed. I didn't have to get up on Sunday morning and be forced to go to church or feel like I had to do it because people in the church would expect it. I began to go because I wanted to. You see, the Lord had saved me and changed my life, and no longer did I say, well, I got to go on Sunday morning. No, you want to go on Sunday morning because Christ changes your life. And one minute, old Paul was persecuting, next minute he's praising God. And folks, I believe that's the way it is as Christians. We want to praise God with all our heart, all our life. People sometimes tell me now, well, you're a fanatic. I say, praise God. Amen. I'm a fanatic. Man. Now, there's a powerful change. His testimony in Acts, he describes his testimony from the outside. But here, he describes his testimony from the inside, you see. And there's three basic elements in salvation. Salvation change is a supernatural change. It has to be of God. When it pleased God, salvation is of God. Isn't it interesting? Paul doesn't start with salvation on the Damascus Road. Look what he says, when it pleased God in his time. From creation, he talks about eternity with God. When it pleased God, salvation is from the Lord. Let me tell you something. This morning, if you get saved, it's because of God. All because of God. You cannot save yourself. And folks, you have to realize that. God does it. Back in eternity past, before you ever existed, God loved you. Think about that. Before you ever existed. Not only that, I heard a man say the other day in a convention, he's got a plan for your life. And folks, let me tell you something. I've been telling you that for a long time. God has a plan for your life. I did not know back then that I would ever be a preacher. Matter of fact, my brother said, you know about me, he said, you'll probably end up in a penitentiary. That's just how my mind thought at that time. I'm so glad God changed my attitude. I'm so glad God changed my mind about life. I'm so glad. You know what? Then it says, look what it says here. This is very important, I believe. That who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Paul said, God set me apart even in my mother's womb. Now think about that, folks. That's another way of saying God had a plan for your life. Little did I know, but when Miss Janie Jones gave birth to me on August the 19th, 1952, God knew that I was going to be standing here this day giving my testimony, preaching the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? Friends, that's why I'm against abortion. I'm against it. I do not believe that any child is born by accident. You're no accident. You might have been conceived in sin, but you're no accident. God knew you. And the Bible says we're all born in sin. You see? God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for me. I didn't know it, but God knew it. Not only that, he has a purpose in every little baby. I don't care what they look like. Man, my mother probably wanted to give me back. But they're precious to God. You are precious to God. Paul was precious to God. You see, when it pleased God, he said, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, he knew he was going to be persecuting the church. But he also knew, man, if he has a zeal to persecute the church like that, what's he going to do when I want him to do for me? He did exactly the same thing. God set him on fire. He just changed his life. He changed his direction. And friends, let me tell you something. We have most of the New Testament because of this man. God just turned him around in his life. He wasn't looking for the Lord that day. The Lord was looking for him, but God stepped into his life, and the Holy Spirit just arrested that man, and there was a light from the beginning in his life, the brightness of God. And Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, Paul, but I have chosen you. Not only that, I've ordained you. You see, God always takes the initiative in our salvation. Let me tell you something. If God is speaking to your heart right now, he's taking that initiative to tell you right now through the Holy Spirit that you need to do something about your life. You need to change your life. Now, you've got a choice there. You can say no to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to come down today. I know what the preacher's saying is right. I know the Holy Spirit's trying to lead me down, but I'm not going today. I did that for about 3 or 4 weeks. But then I heard God say, in a plain little voice to my heart, it's either today or it's never. Let me tell you something. I knew just enough about the Bible through the power of the Holy Spirit to know that I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to spend an eternity lost away from God. And I knew just to know that God's word, when he says, it's today or never, brother, I would be lost forever because his Holy Spirit would no longer deal with me. I came down. I'm like Paul. I said, hey, I'm changing my direction. Lord, what do you want me to do? I didn't know he was going to call me to preach. But you know what? It didn't make any difference. I knew I needed to be saved, and that's what it was all about. You see, salvation is a supernatural thing. God initiates salvation. It's an eternal thing. It's for all of your life. Oh, I know that I've got a home in heaven. I know that God's going to prepare a place for me. And a while ago, I was serious, man. If God comes back tonight, I'm all right. Death to me is released from all this down here. I don't have to worry about next year's taxes. I don't have to worry about who's going to make president. I don't even want to get on that. You know, it would be a relief because God's word says, I've got a place prepared for you. And when I was saved, you know what? I couldn't answer a theological question. I couldn't even pronounce that word then. But I knew enough about God through the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he wanted me to be saved. He loved me. He gave his son for me. And if simply I would trust him, he would make my life better. And let me tell you something. He filled that vacancy. He filled that empty hole in my life. And man's salvation is a supernatural thing from God. It's eternal. Not only that, it caused me to be evangelistic. Now I just want to tell everybody that I come in contact with that I love them, that God loves them. And they can have a better life if they'll just turn their life around. And folks, you can have a better life today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, why don't you come to him? Why don't you give your life to him? You see? When Paul got saved, he became evangelical. Everywhere he went, three times in Acts and one time here, man, he started telling people about Jesus Christ. Why? He wanted them to know. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not something that we can do. It's something that God gives. And then look what he said here at last. I love this. You know, he talks about his past conduct. And he tells about a powerful change in his life. And then he talks about purposeful contacts. I read this several times, and I wondered about it. Paul says, listen, then after 3 years, in verse 18, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. The first place Paul went was to the desert to get along with God. Now, I don't know how long he stayed there. I don't think we know how long he stayed there. But Paul went there to get his, I want to call it, bearing straight. You know, have you ever had a compass? You know how to read a compass? You take bearings and you follow those bearings. Well, when you get saved, you get your bearing straight. Paul got straight some things in his life. The whole theological idea had just been shattered by God himself. And he had to reconstruct his own life. And, you know, the Bible says God saves you, and he says work out your own salvation. That doesn't mean we have to work for our salvation. Salvation's a gift. But after we're saved, you know, we want to grow in our Christian life. And he started, you know, learning about God. You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible that we talk about that had to get their bearings straight. I think about Moses. You know, Moses grew up in the Egyptian Pharaoh's house, and he started killing Egyptians. God sent him off into the desert, didn't he? Why? You know, Moses trying to do it his way. God said, that's not my way, Moses. You go off to the desert and get your bearings straight. He went off in the desert for about 40 years, got his bearings straight with God, came back. I think about old Elijah. Old Elijah had been working miracles of God, and then he run off, sat down under a juniper tree, and said, Lord, you might as well just go ahead and kill me. But God worked in his life, and he began to speak to him. I think about Paul. He went to Arabia with Moses and the prophets, and he came back with Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and gave us those books of the Bible. And then he went down to Damascus, and he went there and where he was known. And you know, that took a lot of courage to go back to where he was known. They were going to kill him, and they let him down over a wall in a basket, and we know the rest of the story there. He escaped. And then he went to Jerusalem. And the Bible says here he went up to see Peter. And those words, to see, means he wanted to get the history straight, the history of something. He went to Peter to learn and to inquire of Peter. And he probably said, Peter, I want to know something. You know, I'd ask Peter myself, would you tell me the story of how you walked on the water with Jesus? That'd be a good story to tell, wouldn't it? You know, we're good about telling stories. I've been writing my stories down and trying to tell them, and I couldn't sleep the other morning at 1 o'clock, and I was laying there on the bed, and I was sitting there with my iPhone, and I was typing a story in about my early life, and my son was over here, and he said, Dad, what's wrong? I said, nothing. He said, well, why don't you go to sleep then? I said, am I keeping you awake? And he said, uh-huh. I said, well, just stay up. I can't sleep. First thing I know, he was snoring. But you know what? That's the way we are. We want to tell our stories. And Peter, would you tell me the story? And then he says, James, tell me a story when you was a boy about Jesus. I love that old song, more about Jesus, more about Jesus would I know, more of his love to others show. Tell me about Jesus, James. And then he went to preaching. No big signs out front, just preaching. No big crowds before him, just preaching. You know, tell me about Jesus. You know, I've been talking to some tree people lately. We've got some trees down on our farm. We're talking about raising some trees and cutting some trees. And you know what I found out? If I plant trees now, I'll be dead when they're grown. So what's the need in planting them? Takes a long time for an oak tree to grow, don't it? But you know what? I also found out you might as well plant them, leave something for somebody else to sit under. You know, we think sometimes, what's the use of telling the story of Jesus? We're going to be gone. We're going to heaven. I've got my ticket punched, so to speak. God's already saved me. I'm going. You know, why tell somebody else? I tell you why. So that when you get to heaven, you'll see faces down there and they'll say, thank you. Thank you for leaving me a place to rest. Thank you for telling me how to get this hole out of my life. Thank you for helping me along the way. And I believe Paul began to tell the story of how God changed his life. because he wanted others to know how God took a man that persecuted the church and just literally filled that vacancy, that hatred, that anger for the love of God. Look at verse 24. I love that. And they glorified God in me. That's pretty good to put on your tombstone, isn't it? Pretty good epitaph. They glorified God in me. You know why they glorified God in him? Because first, Jesus was glorified in Paul. Folks, when I'm dead and gone, and that probably won't be long, I just want to be known that I was faithful. That I was faithful in doing the things that God had called me to do. Preach the word. Let others know Jesus in you. If you don't know Jesus today, would you trust him as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're like me and a lot of other people. You try to be good, but you're just fighting against the wind, so to speak. Jesus can stop that. Jesus can come into your life and change your life, turn your life around, and get you on the right track. Oh, what a difference he's made in my life. And a lot of others here can give the same testimony that Paul. When Jesus came in my life, he changed my life. And we have a story to tell. What makes people want to go to the far ends of the earth and preach to people that after he's preached to them, he'll probably never see again? Jesus. 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 That's what makes people go. That's what makes me go. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And I love him so. Do you love him? Have you given your life to him? Are you telling someone else about him? If you don't know him, you have an opportunity today. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to anybody else around you. Just listen to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if he's telling you that you're lost, you need to be the first one down here. You need to be burning it up as we give the prayer to come down here. You don't have to wait till the choir starts singing or the people start singing. You can get up right now and start out and come down here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your salvation. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the eternal presence. You're always with us. And God, if we don't know that presence today, Lord, let us come. Let us give our life and heart to you, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand? Start coming.